This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Finally, a deal is done in San Francisco. Good to have you aboard. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, alongside Marcel, Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Marcel, it's a big news night. You had CeeDee Lamb a couple of days ago. Now it's Brandon Ayuk's turn. The long national nightmare is over. Brandon Ayuk, he has a deal. How are you tonight, pal?
I'm excellent now, but I'm a little stressed out, Zaz, because what drama are we following now? This was fueling us here. We had CeeDee, we had Ayuk. I guess we still have Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes, we still have Ja'Marr Chase. You know, he's walking around, showing up to practice late in a shirt and shorts and a baseball cap. There's still drama there. You know, Zach Taylor thinks he's supposed to practice. He's not. And look no further than the 49ers offensive line at left tackle. You got plenty of drama there as well with Trent Williams. We got some things still to worry about here, Marcel.
Yeah, these are good points. I don't want to disrespect offensive linemen and say, like, that's not getting the clicks. That's not, you know, having everybody tapping through Twitter. Nobody is wondering when is Trent Williams going to sign. But he does deserve his money. He's maybe the best left tackle in the NFL. But nothing quite gets the drama itch scratched like a good quarterback or a good wide receiver holdout. Those are just, they're always the most dramatic players on the team. Usually, especially wide receivers are just the most dramatic players on the team with the subtweeting and the Instagram stories and this and that. And even last year, you had Deebo Samuel at the club, like, you know, shaking his head no when someone put up a sign saying, Deebo, come back to San Francisco. Like, it's just something special about a wide receiver holdout. But like you said, we still have one left in Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
But San Francisco, it's a big move for them. But as you just said, the house is not totally clean quite yet.
Well, so as the details continue to trickle out, we're talking 4 years. Adam Schefter reports 4 years, $120 million extension for Brandon Ayuk. And it's been drama-filled, you know? Like with CeeDee Lamb, okay, we know there's a situation there. Hopefully it eventually works out, and eventually it did, and he's back at practice. But Marcel, with Ayuk, this has been a drama-filled offseason. If you remember, it began with someone took video of Brandon Ayuk FaceTiming Jaden Daniels, right? And he's FaceTiming Jaden Daniels telling him, they don't want me no more. And that started a whole thing where it's like, whoa, what's going on in San Francisco? And then you got the Niners saying, yeah, I mean, he's requested a trade, but we told him we'll see you in training camp next week. We're not moving you. And then not too long after that, okay, you know what? Go out and talk to other teams. Now, normally, Marcel, and you're, you know, ESPN Nation, NFL Report, Miami Dolphins. Boy, we'll get to some Dolphins stuff. But you know about this stuff much better than I do. I feel like normally when teams don't want to trade a player and they allow the player to go out and negotiate with other teams, a lot of times I feel like they're trying to say, okay, you think you're worth X, we think you're worth Y. Go see if you're worth X, and you're going to wind up coming back to us because you're not, and we're going to wind up working this out. But this situation wasn't as cut and dry because apparently there were a couple teams that yep. wanted him, were willing to meet his price, but either the Niners couldn't come up with compensation or Ayuk, like in the case of New England, said, nah, player, I'm good. New England's not the place for me.
No, I mean, we heard from Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, right, that the Cleveland Browns offered more money than New England did, than Pittsburgh did, than San Francisco did. He just didn't want to go to that situation. So, like, I think it's a little bit of two things here. The first is, like you said, you know, having their guy, teams will have their guy go test the market just to say, okay, sometimes you don't want to hear it from your parents. Sometimes you got to hear it from somebody else that you are not worth X, Y, Z money. Sometimes that works, i.e. Brandon Ayuk. Sometimes it backfires, like Saquon Barkley. We saw the New York Giants try that move in real time on Hard Knocks, and you know, that blew up in their face a little bit. But also, I think they kind of dared Brandon to say, like, they dared Brandon to go find another team, and they essentially said, you're not going to find a better situation than this. Forget the money. Like, do you really? You can go find the money. Someone's going to pay you more. They found three teams that'll pay him more. You are not going to find another team that is fast-tracked to the Super Bowl like the San Francisco 49ers. So if you want to go toil away in Cleveland, if you want to go play with a rookie quarterback, or maybe not, as we'll get to later, in New England, if you want to go, you know, 9-8 every season in Pittsburgh, go ahead. We don't care. Go ahead, try it. So they call it his bluff. And lo and behold, look at right here. And we get the news from Adam Schefter as well, that this is the same deal they offered on August 10th. So almost 3 weeks ago, they said, this is our offer, take it or leave it.
That's an excellent point to make sure that we reiterate here. If you're just tuning in now to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, I'm Jonathan Zaslow. He is Marcel Louis-Jacques. The big news of the day, this happened, I don't know, like 15 minutes ago. Brandon Ayuk, San Francisco 49ers, four-year, $120 million extension. All the minutiae, all the details are starting to trickle out here. But after Ayuk clearly didn't want to go to Cleveland, he didn't want to go to New England, I guess they couldn't work things out with Pittsburgh. We then got to yesterday, which was John Lynch, 49ers general manager, and you don't normally, the Niners are a well-run organization. You don't normally see the general manager, you don't normally see John Lynch get up in front of a microphone and sound as exasperated as he did here yesterday.
Communicated to Brandon's camp at any point, say in the last few weeks, that he would be expected to practice starting?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but you know, there's you know, at some point you got to play.
So that is a really, really frustrated general manager. And it was at that point yesterday, Marcel, where, you know, in these instances, I normally side with the player in the NFL because this is their only leverage. It's their only course of action when they want to get more money. The NFL teams, they can cut you. You're not going to get the money. It's not guaranteed. What can the player do? This is all he could do. But yesterday, when Lynch got up there in front of those microphones, I said to myself, yeah, I got a hard time believing, especially in a Super Bowl contender, that the Niners are being unfair or unrealistic. And that sounded like a general manager who is frustrated with his players' representation being unfair or being unrealistic. Because then you get these numbers, Marcel, 4 years, $120 million. I have a better feeling the Niners were always at that number and Ayuk was willing to come to it than that was the number Ayuk wanted, and the Niners were just now willing to get to it. Does that seem accurate?
Oh, I'm willing to bet, yeah. Without any inside knowledge of this deal, that was my first reaction, was like, this is not, and I don't want to seem like I'm turning my nose up at $120 million, let me be very clear. This is not a groundbreaking deal compared to what we've seen.
Like, why would the
NFL
Niners have
off-season?
Not been okay with this deal?
Like, this is $30 million for a wide receiver one. Yeah, that's the going rate. Like, this isn't anything crazy. We just saw CD, you know, subtweeting his team's owner and skipping all of training camp, but he got $34 million a year. He got $100 million guaranteed. Like, what are we doing? I don't understand what was the holdup here. If you're Brandon Ayuk, especially with the tantrum, more or less, that you've been throwing for the past several months, like, this seems like a pretty standard deal. So, like, I wonder, like, who relented? Like, who conceded in this? And it very much seems like it was Brandon Ayuk.
I think it had to have been Ayuk. And I also think during this whole stretch here, Marcel, it feels to me like Brandon Ayuk was being told, probably by his representation, I can get you X amount of dollars. I can get you Justin Jefferson's 35. And Brandon Ayuk was likely saying to himself, all right, that would be really great to get 35 somewhere, but I kind of really want to stay here, and I kind of really want to win a Super Bowl. Like, it'd be one thing to get 35 a year, because Jefferson is the highest paid average annual value at $35 million, but then you kind of got to think to yourself, all right, that'd be cool to get 35, but how am I going to feel then when I look over there in the beginning of February, the Niners have won the Super Bowl? Like, maybe I could just take the offer that the Niners are willing to give me, which is still really good, and be a part of a Super Bowl winning team. You know, I feel like it had to have been Ayuk relenting in this spot. I think it had to be. You could be a part of Amber and Ian Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. College football, it's a pepper thing. So, Marcel, he slots himself in now, Brandon Ayuk, as the sixth, well, tied for fifth with Tyreek Hill, tied for fifth highest paid wide receiver on an average annual value basis, $30 million a year, ahead of him is Amon-Ra St. Brown at $30.02 million, A.J. Brown at $32 million, CeeDee Lamb at $34 million, and Justin Jefferson coming in at $35 million. And now, like you said a few minutes ago, the only one that we still need to watch out for as far as the wide receivers is Ja'Marr Chase. Brandon Ayuk, 4 years, $120 million to remain in San Francisco. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Coming up next, which quarterback battle was the bigger sham, Pittsburgh or New England? We'll talk about that next. Amber Nian on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Oh, look at this, Marcel. Got games on my television here to choose from in the Zaslow Mansion Network Studios. This is Amber Nian on ESPN Radio. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. It's college football. There's a lot of games tonight, Marcel. I mean, obviously, week one, Saturday, is what we're looking forward to, but there's some action here tonight, man. We got Colorado tonight. You got a few ranked teams that are playing. I got UCF and New Hampshire. Huge matchup, Marcel. UCF and New Hampshire is on my television right now. It's football. We're so close, Marcel. How about that?
Oh, yeah. No, we got some nice little appetizers here. A couple in top 25 teams. Some excited. You know, number 22, Kansas.
Yeah.
Utah, Mizzou, NC State. Like, this is a good first course for what's going to be a great weekend, man. No, I've been waiting all week for this. I keep checking. You know, the smart thing to do for my mental health would have been to just go on ESPN.com, right, and look up the schedule. But I didn't want to do that. It's too easy. So I went to Hulu every single night this week demanding college football. Where is my matching? Where is some MEAC games? Like, where's some Mountain West? Like, give me something. Give me Hawaii. I don't care. Give me a crumb of college football. And we finally got it tonight.
Yes, it is all happening. If you're just tuning in now here to Amber Nian on ESPN Radio, it's a big news night. Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers, they have finally agreed to a deal. 4 year, $120 million extension. Also, though, over the last couple days, Marcel, we have solved teams, I guess, the final two teams remaining in the NFL as far as naming a quarterback, naming a starting quarterback for week number one, were New England and Pittsburgh. And we finally got answers yesterday on both of them. Here's Gerard Mayo, Patriots head coach, and he's letting us know that they're going with – this was from this morning, all right? We only found this out officially this morning. Gerard Mayo, Patriots head coach this morning, telling you he's going with the veteran.
We have decided, or I have decided, that Jacoby Brissett will be our starting quarterback this season. Now, in saying that, as an organization, we're 100% behind Jacoby. There is no, you know, you got a guy right here, you got a guy right there. We're 100% behind Jacoby. And I had an opportunity to talk to Drake. I had an opportunity to talk to Jacoby separately and also together. And I feel like we're all on the same page from an organizational perspective.
So they're going with, the prototypical transitional starting quarterback in today's NFL is Jacoby Brissett. So they're going with him over the, right? I mean, I feel like he's the guy. They're going with him over the number three overall pick, Drake May. So we found that out this morning. They were officially the last team to name a starting quarterback. The next to last team to name a starting quarterback was yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, telling you Russell Wilson, he's QB1.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. The decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
Now, Marcel. The Patriots go with Brissett. The Steelers go with Russell Wilson. Were either of these actually difficult decisions?
Not particularly. I think the Steelers, choosing Russ over Fields was a little bit easier, in my opinion, than going with Brissett over May. Just because, like, I don't think there's that wide of a gap between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. And considering where they drafted Drake May, experience is critical. Right now, you know, getting as much as possible. But I do applaud Gerard Mayo for basically saying, like, we want Drake May to play, right? And let's not get it twisted. He will be the starting quarterback by the end of the season. That's how it goes. Big number three overall. He's going to be the starter by the end of the season. But he is saying we're not rushing into it. We want to make sure that he can grasp this game, that the speed of the game is not going to be too much for him, because you see it time and time and time again with rookie quarterbacks that are thrust in too early, that like Sam Darnold, for example, in New York, where like your first throw is a pick six. First throw of your career is a pick six.
Was it? I don't even remember that. Was it?
Oh, yeah, against the Lions. I remember that.
That's amazing.
Fairly vividly. I'm pretty sure because it wasn't a Sunday game. I think it was like one of the midweek or like a Monday. Either, I digress. I don't think he ever recovered from that. Like, so like if you're throwing in before you're ready, like you run the risk of ruining somebody's confidence before you can ever really build it. So like I respect the decision, but Russ over Fields was, I think, a pretty, yeah, that was a layup. That was a no-brainer.
I think Mike Tomlin going with Russell Wilson was the easy decision and the right move. I think Gerard Mayo going with Jacoby Brissett was a hard decision and also the right move. And the reason I say that is because this Patriot team is nowhere near being a good football team. I also say that where, Marcel, there's never a situation where you don't start the rookie quarterback at the beginning of the season. You eventually get to him middle of the year, three quarters of the year, or even the next year. You don't then say, wow, we made a huge mistake in not starting him week one. If he was bad or if he was good, you don't then say, wow, big mistake to start him week number one. Conversely, if you do start the rookie quarterback week number one, we say it all the time that it was a mistake to start him right away. It's okay to have the rookie, even though he's number three overall, and by all accounts, J.J. McCarthy was going to start before he got hurt. Bo Nix is starting, you know. Guys who were selected after him are starting week number one. So what? So what? Who cares? I think it was a difficult decision to go with Brissett, but the right one. And for Tomlin, I think it's the right move and an easy decision there because This is a team that probably believes if they get steady quarterback play, they can make the postseason. I mean, heck, they did last year. They won 10 games. And you know what? If they want to eventually pull the plug and then get a look at Justin Fields before the end of his contract, which is this year, that option is always there. I don't think you could have went with the young guy and then moved to the older guy in Pittsburgh. I think you have both options on the table if you're Mike Tomlin, if you start with Russell Wilson. So one of them I think was a hard decision and the right one. The other one I think was an easy decision and the right one. Either way, both head coaches, I think they got it right.
I'll say this about Russ too, because I think there is a certain stigma attached to him based on his time in Denver.
People think he was a total bum the last few years. He was not.
He was. The first year in Denver, I'll give
him.
Second
last year
in Denver,
he was
not the problem. He's not the problem. I was present for a historic NFL game, right? The 70-20 loss to the Dolphins. I was there. I promise Russell Wilson was not the problem in that game. Russell was – I don't know how defensive core, I think it was Vance Joseph. I don't know how Vance was allowed on the plane after that. After that game, it was a defensive meltdown. But I'll say, year one, I'm blaming Nathaniel Hackett. That's why I never had a huge issue with whatever Sean Payton said, last offseason, because he kind of let Russ do whatever he wants, and Russ wants to be a superstar. Russ wants to be a celebrity, and a good head coach would reel him in, like I'm sure Mike Tomlin has, reel him in and say, your job is quarterback. Your job is not Campbell's spokesperson. Your job is not to promote the Danger Witch Subway sandwich. Your job is to lead this team. Get them right. So I think attitude reflected leadership there. But Russell Wilson is still, I think, a quality NFL quarterback. You saw it in flashes last year. You saw when he beat the Bills, the Broncos beat the Bills last year. He can still play this game. I think the Steelers are always going to want to be competitive. And Russell Wilson gives them the best chance to be competitive right now.
So we know starting quarterbacks now for all 32 teams for week number one. Yesterday, the Steelers, they named Russell Wilson. Today, the Patriots, they named Jacoby Brissett. We also know Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. No trade, new contract. 4 years, $120 million. Coming up next here, we're going to stick with the Patriots quarterback battle. This is Amber Nian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
1 week away from the start of the 2024 NFL season, that's right. You got Jets and Niners next week. We're getting close. This is Amber Nian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Jonathan Zaslow alongside Marcel Louis-Jacques. We are in for Amber Nian tonight. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, announced this morning Jacoby Brissett. He will be the starting quarterback for week one. Let's bring aboard ESPN Patriots reporter, the great Mike Reese, joining us here. Mike, thanks a lot for your time. Was this ever really in doubt? Did Drake May, like what he had just to blow away Jacoby Brissett in, I guess, what we called a competition?
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan. Hey, Marcel. Great to be with you. It was never truly in doubt. I think what was interesting was 2 weeks ago, we would not be having this conversation. And Drake May put on a late charge that, in my opinion, really sort of tested Gerard Mayo's discipline in terms of the team's long-term development plan for Drake May. And I likened it to like a horse race. They came down the home stretch, and Jacoby Brissett was so far already up the track, and then here comes Drake May on the outside to make it sort of interesting at the end. But did we ever think Drake was going to pass him? To me, I would say no. I never really thought it was going to get to that point.
Hey, Mike, so I think it's safe to say, though, at some point this year, the expectation is that Drake May will start games for the Patriots, right? Or is this a special form of development that we haven't seen out of first-round quarterbacks in recent years, in which generally top 10 guys end the season as the starter?
So if it continues, Marcel, on this path, like I believe we're going to see him, because if it was this close, you know, as Gerard Mayo said, the last 2 weeks, Drake May had outplayed Jacoby Brissett. Gerard Mayo said that. But the totality of Jacoby Brissett's work going back to the spring, coupled with his knowledge of the system from having played in the system in Cleveland in 2022, gave Brissett the edge. So I think if it keeps going this way, it's a safe bet to say we'll see Drake May at some point. And then, of course, Jacoby Brissett will have a say in that. If he plays lights out, maybe that sort of turns it in the other direction.
Mike, how much did the coaching staff care about the optics, considering, you know, Mac Jones, he started right out the gate as well, and obviously that did not work?
So I think optics-wise, Jonathan, like I truly believe like that this had there was nothing about optics. But your point about Mac Jones, I do think some of the people that lived that experience, whether it was coaches or even on the personnel side, vowed to themselves, we're never going to do that again. And when I say never do that again, meaning we're never going to put a quarterback in a situation where he doesn't have the support around him. And I'm glad you brought it up, Jonathan, because it's probably an important point here. Patriots still figuring out the offensive line, as anyone watching that game Sunday night in the preseason game in Washington saw, when they couldn't line up correctly four different times. The receiving weapons, you know, I would say relative to the rest of the league are toward the lower end of the spectrum. So I do think that that's also part of this conversation when they're figuring out how they want to proceed.
Mike, what do you know about the relationship between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May? You know, it's probably never fun, right, for a bridge quarterback to be known as a bridge quarterback. And it's never fun to say, okay, it's your job to mentor the guy who's going to take your job. But what have you noticed about the relationship between the rookie and the vet here?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I know and what I noticed, Marcel. It's really fascinating to me. So these two guys actually knew each other prior to this year, because Jacoby Brissett was in Washington last year with Sam Howell, the former North Carolina quarterback, who's great friends with Drake May from their ties with North Carolina. So the fact that Jacoby Brissett and Drake May had a connection prior to Drake May even being drafted in New England set the stage for making that dynamic you just referenced maybe a little less awkward. And I'll give you a visual from today. We were in the locker room. Their lockers are right next to each other. And Jacoby Brissett told us a story that Drake came up to him and said, hey, look, you know, this has been announced. Anything you need, I'll be there for you. And Jacoby Brissett said, he said to Drake May, hey, that works both ways. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. And then I watched it, Marcel. I watched them talking to each other as we left the room, and they headed out to practice.
Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, alongside Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. So, Mike, you've been around that facility, that organization, for a long time now. Can you describe to us the difference all these previous years, especially the last few, going into week number one, and what it feels like this year going into week number one?
I mean, this feels completely different, Jonathan. I mean, the expectations externally are low. I mean, the bar was always Super Bowl was how you would measure the success of a season. That's certainly not the case this year. And I think another point I would make is what's different, like what happened today is different. Gerard Mayo wasn't even supposed to talk to reporters today. But because he said that he would tell us who the starting quarterback was, and he didn't get around to talking to the players on Wednesday because he got tied up with roster building stuff, he scheduled a press conference himself so he could be true to his word. I mean, think about that, Jonathan. Like, that's something Bill Belichick wouldn't do, and not to compare them, but it just sort of highlights the different way he's doing things from the coach that he played for and the coach that he also worked for as an assistant.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Mike, can you count on one hand the number of times Bill Belichick scheduled a press conference with you guys?
He loved us, Marcel. That's what I'm convinced myself of, you know?
I love that. Hey, Mike, looking at the, you know, we're going to keep beating the quarterback news into the ground because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Looking at the Patriots schedule, I mean, at Cincinnati, home against Seattle, at New York, at San Francisco, Miami, like, this is a hard start to the season for a team that's playing a last place schedule, but there is a soft landing with Indy, with Arizona, with the Chargers there in the last month of the year. Did the schedule factor in at all into Jerron Mayo's decision to go with the vet early so that, like you mentioned, there isn't another Mac Jones situation where he's just kind of thrown to the wolves before it's time?
It's a really good point. Jerron Mayo actually said last week, when he was looking ahead to the season opener, he said, at Cincinnati, hostile environment, is that really the spot you would want to put a rookie quarterback? He goes, well, you know, this is before they obviously made the decision, but he was offering up that, you know, thought, you know, in his mind. So I think it's a good point that you mentioned. I don't think the schedule was, if we were to make a pie of percentages, I think it would be like a very small slice of the pie, but I do think it was part of their conversations based on what he said. The other thing, guys, I want to mention something that Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, said. Like, the fact that Jacoby Brissett played in his offense, that Van Pelt said he has the tools to get himself out of challenging situations because he knows the system. He said Drake May is still learning that, and well, he's doing great. He's just not at the same level, and I think it's more that, Marcel. Like, they don't want to put him in a spot where he doesn't have everything he needs from a system standpoint that he can be successful.
One more for you here, Mike Reese. Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter here with us. You know, Nick Saban, he's on television. He's on game day. It seems that the University of Alabama is aware of commentary from their former great coach. When Belichick is on television giving commentary, giving opinions, do you find the Patriots, are they aware of the things that he says?
It's a great point. I never thought of it, Jonathan. I will tell you that I am, because I am fascinated by it. Like, technically, since Bill Belichick is sort of working for ESPN, are we now teammates? Can I call myself a teammate of Bill Belichick?
He's your colleague.
So I would say, I honestly don't know the answer. You know, if the Patriots, I assume, you know, they're generally aware of things that are said. But I will tell you, for me personally, speaking for me, it's appointment. Like, I want to know what he's saying, because I sort of want to read between the lines of what he's really thinking of what's going on here. For example, when he was a draft analyst, I was listening to everything he said about all the draft prospects, and I came away, it was my interpretation, he wouldn't have taken Drake May, and that was fascinating to me.
Mike, excellent job as always. Thanks a lot for jumping on with us for a little bit here on Amber and Ian.
Thanks, guys. I love being on with you. Have a great rest of the show.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter. I will mention real quick, Marcel, I haven't seen very much at all of Belichick on television yet. I have caught a lot of Saban. Let me tell you something. Saban is excellent on TV. He's really – have you seen much? He's really, really good.
I have not. I'm looking forward to it, you know, now that college football has started. But I'm not surprised. I saw him – I mean, we've seen him more or less televised for, decade plus now. So I'm not shocked that he's good. Obviously, he's intelligent. You got to be somewhat personable, right, to be that good of a recruiter. Like,
yeah.
You have to be personable.
Yeah.
If you want to convince teenagers to come play football for you, you can't be crotchety,
totally
ornery. So So I'm not surprised, but I'm looking forward to this football season. And then Bill is funny. I saw him in the roast, the Tom Brady roast.
Right.
It's funny.
Right.
This whole, I'm convinced, the past 20 years was just a bit. Like the whole, the shortness with the media.
It was a long play by him.
It was a long play.
He was committed to it. Coming up next here, after a couple weeks filled with controversy, we're going to get our first look at Coach Prime's Colorado Buffaloes tonight. We're going to talk about that next. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7-foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod at checkout.
We got college football. We didn't even have to wait until Saturday. We got college football right now. I'm watching UCF on my television. They lead New Hampshire 13-0. But kicking off in about 12 minutes from now, Colorado, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. They are hosting North Dakota State. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, Marcel, the thing that stands out to me the most is just the difference between right now and last year at this time, or at least the perceived difference to me, where going into last year, there was a lot of intrigue about Deion now as a head coach at Colorado. Big-time conference. How's that going to play out compared to Jackson State? We know he made he made waves with telling the student athletes who were on the team when he got there that you better hit up that portal. You know, I'm bringing my Gucci and Louis Vuitton with me. I got my bags. Better hit up that portal. And so he made a lot of waves there. And then they beat TCU in the first game, who was a playoff team. And then it went crazy. And everyone was watching, and I feel like rooting for Colorado. Marcel, I feel like everyone's rooting against Colorado going into this season. It is a completely different scenario than it was last year.
Easy villain. And I kind of think, you know, Zaz, I'm confused, right? Because I want to say, based on his actions, that this is what Deion wants. Like, he likes and embraces that villain role, and I think that dates back to his playing days, right? Like, he loved being the bad guy in opposing stadiums. Like, that was something that fueled him. But also, he what he says, everything is disrespect, right? Like, why don't you like us? Like, why don't you ever say anything nice about us? Why are you always so negative? What did we do to you? This and that. It just, they're conflicting personalities right now. But they are the easy villain, which is crazy to say about a 4-win team from a season ago. They won 4 games.
Yeah.
Man, this wasn't like they weren't pushing for conference title. They weren't even bowl eligible last year. But they are the number one villain. And you know what? I would love to see the money coming into Vegas on North Dakota State. I don't know if it's the smart play, but I think people are passionately, emotionally betting North Dakota State tonight.
Oh, I think the last I saw, I thought the public was heavily on Colorado. The last I saw. Yeah.
Everybody I know is betting North Dakota State.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a gambler. Every group chat I'm in, people are hammering North Dakota State. I don't know, man. That's that's one of those programs where, you know, if I'm not a world beater at the FBS level, I don't know that I'm scheduling North Dakota State.
I'll tell you what, this number has soared recently, which would tell you that the public is all over Colorado, because earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, Colorado was a 9.5-point favorite. And right now on ESPN Bet, as that game is going to kick off in about 10 minutes, Colorado is an 11.5-point favorite. So there apparently has been a lot of money coming in from the public on Colorado. Let's hear from Ian Fitzsimmons, host of this program, Amber and Ian. He was on Carlin versus Joe, hosting Carlin versus Joe. No one knows more about college football than Ian Fitzsimmons. He thinks Colorado, they could be in trouble.
The one thing, again, several different P5 coaches have told me this, now P4. The one kind of team you don't want to play is a team that has the name Dakota in it.
Hey, man.
Yep. Primetime Deion Sanders. Be careful. Be very, very careful tonight, because man, you get a Dakota, the Dakota, the North Dakota State Bison, giant killers. Ask their old head coach, Chris Klieman, right, at Kansas State. I mean, North Dakota State went in there and said, I'll take 1.1. Thank you very much. Here's an L, and we're getting the hell out of the Little Apple. So be very, very careful tonight if you're the Buffaloes.
I wonder if that's what it is, Marcel. The 1.1 that Ian Fitzsimmons is referring to is $1.1 million,
oh, yeah,
where you have these smaller schools who get paid to come and essentially take a whooping at, you know, one of the Power Four conference teams. And so whatever they're getting, North Dakota State, it's likely between 500 and the 1.1. Maybe Ian actually does know, and it's 1.1 million. I love it, Marcel, when those teams that are getting paid to come over there and play the road game, then when they also win the game, which is rare, but when they also win the game, so they get the money and they get the win. I love that scenario.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the great college football, I guess, memes, we want to say, I don't know how to describe it, clips. There it is, clips of all time, was, I believe, North Carolina A&T. I forget who they beat. I want to say it was East Carolina, when the coach in the locker room says, you know, one more thing, tell him to bring me my money. Like, and the locker room goes crazy. Like, yeah, it's a hilarious scenario, because you just paid for your own demise. Like, you paid for the right to be embarrassed on national television. So, like, I was just saying, you know, before we went to Ian, this is not a team that you play when you're on the cusp of being an okay team at the FBS level. LSU, Georgia, Clemson. Okay, go ahead and schedule North Dakota State. But, like, Arizona State? No, don't do that. Washington State? I don't know about all that, man. Wisconsin? I don't know about all that. And Colorado, I would put right in that group where they're punching on your level.
Could
and you know what? I read this report, right? Mm-hmm. That's FCS schools, they're not allowed, you know, sideline, you know, the walkie-talkie communications between coaching staff and the quarterback. But they can use it when they play an FBS
team.
They just have to pay for the equipment.
Okay.
North Dakota State paid for the equipment tonight.
Okay. All right.
North Dakota State paid for the equipment tonight.
Okay.
They said we're ready to go.
Marcel, sounds like you would like this to be a tight game. I come on. That'd be fun. If this game is close late and you got, you know, Deion sweating it out on the sideline there, all the talk, banning reporters, not taking questions, and then you lose the opening game at home to North Dakota State, who purchased their own walkie-talkies. I mean, can you imagine the reaction tomorrow? You know,
it'd be a mess, man.
It would be something.
I'm not rooting for Colorado to fail either.
Well, we root for the story. We're rooting for the story.
That's college football, right? Is you root for the story. And this would be the better story. But I also, you know, I can't pretend like I don't like it when an athlete calls their shot. You know, like I'm a big Chelsea fan, you know, soccer. Noni Madueke posted something disparaging about Wolverhampton. Next day scores 3 goals. I love that stuff. So for Deion to be talking this much trash, if they come out and drop 60 tonight, I think that's a cool story too.
That game gets going in just a few minutes, and we'll keep the update on it. throughout the show here tonight. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Amber and Ian as we are in for them here. You got college football all over the place tonight. We got a great slate of week one. It's finally here. We got football every single week until the, you know, what are we, 2 weeks, a week plus into February. We got football all over the place. We get through this weekend with week one college football, and then we wake up on Monday, and it's an NFL week. That's right. We're so close. A week from tonight, you got week one of the National Football League. It's all happening. All right, everybody calm down. Coming up next, it's a big news night as Brandon Ayuk, he got paid. Finally, we'll tell you about it next. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.